30 seconds has elapsed. VP Pauline, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. So there are ongoing works for on constitutional reforms. Some of them have already been done, as was seen with Councillor Wan's motion, but they're not going to be presented at a fall referendum because they've been taking a bit longer than we thought. So we'll probably see them at winter referendum. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. We'll now be moving to the next question unless there's other answers to this one. Seeing none, we'll be moving to the second question. May the SMU executive please update council on the development of a student engagement plan, a plan they were mandated to develop by the Legislative Council in April 2020, and a diversity of SMU events ad hoc committee, a committee that they were mandated to develop by the Legislative Council in April 2020. I'll once again put this question in the chat. So all those wishing to answer, please raise your hands. Vicky Pauline.
Okay, thank you for this question. So I'm gonna start by addressing the question about the ad hoc committee code. So this was actually taken out of my portfolio because of what happened last year. And when I expressed this to the president, he said he had no intention of bringing it back because it didn't seem to have much effect last year. So I kind of went my own way and I hired a part-time position instead, the internal administrator, to do this work with me. Kind of one-on-one, she's developing a survey. So we kind of went for a more, like student focused rather than committee focused approach to this after the president had expressed no desire to continue this. And since it was out of my portfolio, there's nothing I could do about it. However, if this committee does want to be reinstated, the internal administrator could serve as the chair of this committee. Moving on to the student engagement plan. So because of COVID, a lot of this was impossible, but we're going to try and implement it over this year. When it comes to the social media, I've done weekly takeovers of the execs who write the listserv blurb, and Carl and I have worked closely with Clay this summer to give workshops to new students. Also, as I mentioned with code, we are working on more surveys to students, but we usually get really low turnout in surveys, so this has not been a priority. For job postings, we are attempting to change the system, and hopefully this will help, and we are trying to work with CAPS to get it on their websites as well. So all this is being strived for, but because of the delays that we faced with COVID, we're slowly rebuilding and trying to implement this. If you have any concerns or questions, like, please reach out to me and we'll be happy to assist you in any projects that might be related to the student engagement plan.
Thank you. I will be taking one more answer to this question. VP Downey.
Yeah, so Sarah gave a very succinct explanation there, but basically just a lot of the things that are asked for in the student engagement plan motion were already being done at the time or have been underway for many, many years at SMU. So for instance, the request for more popular education, as far as I know, that's existed in the external portfolio since 2019, which is before this motion was drafted, as well as the popular education that's typically done by the University Affairs portfolio with things like Know Your Rights. So I understand the mandate of this motion to fulfill specific tasks. However, the work that SMU does, particularly in advocacy, is inherently very reactionary. And when issues come up, such as issues related to COVID and accessibility, we sort of have to jump on it. This is a really great motion, but unfortunately it does just sort of ignore the reality that we sort of have to hit the ground running and work on things as they come up. So I would say many, if not most of the things in here have been done or are well in the works or have been done for years. It's just that it's not all in one place really, but just looking over this, as far as I know, many, many of these things are already in the works.
Thank you very much. We'll now be entering a general question period where anybody can ask questions and receive an answer if somebody is ready to answer. This would also be the period to continue the discussion, which we previously stopped on the Royal Victoria Hospital, if there are any more questions about this. So if you wish to raise your hands or any follow-up about the two questions that were posed, we'll have a 5-minute time for this question period. Councillor Josu.
Yes, so I will try to rephrase my question and make sure I'm well understood. So my question earlier was about the NSTAR release moratorium. Since what I have learned is that 2 years ago the SSMU decided that no NSTAR release would be imposed as long as McGill has not divested from fossil energies. First of all, I would like to know is a full divestment the goal here, or at least a threshold of divestment that is sought for?
Thank you, Councillor. Anybody who wishes to answer, please raise your hand. VP Sader.
Yeah, so from my understanding, to kind of reference directly the policy, the policy considers either new ancillary fees, increases in existing ancillary fees, or any other new fees are existing or increases in existing fees that will be sent to referendum. So essentially existing ancillary fees stay at the same price, which is the policy that has been in place. There has been, from as far as I know, no increase in those fees. When it comes to the specific benchmark at which point McGill will have divested, I'm going to be honest, I'm not the expert on that matter. It's not exactly my wheelhouse, but I would assume it would involve its removal of all investments that are done in fossil fuel and energy companies, and likely given the recent passing of the Divest for Human Rights policy, likely I assume encompass that. I don't know though if that was specifically mentioned or referenced in that policy as well, but that is essentially, I think, the point at which this policy is currently, which is McGill is not budging and we are not budging either.
Thank you very much. Any other questions, please raise your hands now. Seeing no more questions, we will expire this question period and move to item number 10, the recess and consent items. So since we have a lot of proxies today, I will re-explain what consent items are. Basically, in consent items, it is the first thing you can find in the voting form. Basically, you're allowed to vote on whether you consent to a motion or you prefer to debate it. If 100% of people vote consent, the motion passes unanimously and it is not debated. If one person votes to debate it, we're going to go into debate later on in new business. Now, since we've already voted on one motion, and motion 11B requires editing by the committee to be able to pass, the council can only vote by consent motion 11A, which is a motion, la motion concernant les changements au comité des affaires des francophones. So you'll be able to vote on this one by consent if you wish to do so. This is also accompanied by a 5-minute recess. Is there any questions before we enter this recess? All right, so please go into your voting form, open up consent items, consent approval, I think the link is called, yeah. And from there, you'll be able to vote. And we'll be back in 5 minutes after recess. All right, we're back from recess. Can I get some hands to just show that most people are back? All right, it seems like most people are back. So you can put your hands back down. So la motion concernant des changements au comité des affaires francophones will be debated as the consent item did not pass unanimously. Councillor Liao, you have a question?
Apologies, I just forgot to lower the hand.
No worries. All right. So we will be moving to new business. And from there, we'll be moving to our first motion, la motion concernant des changements au comité des affaires francophones. I give the floor to VP Paulin.
Un instant, je vais juste sortir la motion, comme ça je peux la lire. OK, donc ce changement vient principalement de la commissaire des affaires francophones. Pour un bon bout, la commissaire travaillait assez seule sur ses projets et n'avait pas assez de support pour faire un grand changement dans la communauté. Donc, on s'est assis ensemble et elle m'a expliqué qu'est-ce qu'il lui fallait pour vraiment contribuer à la communauté miguiloise. Et les changements que vous voyez surlignés en jaune sont ce qu'on a décidé de changer. Donc, avant, le comité n'était pas comme enforcé en étant un comité du conseil législatif. Donc, on a changé un peu la formulation. On a aussi décidé de faire en sorte que le comité serait en charge de être un défenseur des droits des étudiants francophones. Et aussi, on a ajouté deux membres généraux au comité pour faire en sorte qu'il y ait plus de voix du campus sur le comité. Donc, on a décidé de faire ça parce que on veut que le comité soit plus durable et bon, c'est à peu près tout. Et aussi pour faire en sorte que la commissaire puisse entreprendre plus de projets avec plus de main-d'œuvre et de voix qui pourraient lui indiquer qu'est-ce que la communauté aimerait voir à propos de la commission. Donc, ça, c'est les changements qu'on a faits. Si vous avez des questions, je suis heureuse de les répondre.
Merci beaucoup, vice-présidente. Nous allons maintenant rentrer dans une session de questions. Si vous avez des questions, s'il vous plaît, levez votre main. Vice-président of Finance.
Merci. Dans la motion, il y a une partie qui mentionne spécifiquement que ces mesures vont être installées avant le 30 septembre. J'imagine que dans le cas pour cette année, est-ce que les mesures vont être... est-ce que dans le fond, les membres... générales vont être ajoutées au comité aussi rapidement que possible ou est-ce qu'on attendrait pour l'année prochaine dans ce cas-ci?
Merci. Et vice-présidente Paulin?
Non, donc si vous voyez dans la motion d'approbation, non, l'incidence de décision, donc les changements seront mis en place juste après que cette motion passe, si elle passe, et on ferait le recrutement le plus tôt possible pour avoir les membres généraux cette année. Donc, les changements sont vraiment pour cette année.
Merci. S'il y a d'autres questions, s'il vous plaît, levez votre main. Please do remember that you can ask your questions in English. And if you wish to have, if you misunderstood part of the motion or wish to have a translation, please ask and we can provide. Vice-président Sader.
Oui, j'avais une question à propos. Dans le fond, ça explique que les groupes étudiants francophones seraient déterminés par la commissaire aux affaires francophones. Ça serait-tu de décider, y a-tu genre critères en place pour la décision ou est-ce que ça serait un peu plus ad hoc la façon que les décisions seraient prises sur qui, dans le fond, appliquerait ou serait inclus dans le comité versus qui serait peut-être pas inclus?
Merci. Vice-présidente Paulin.
Oui, donc la commissaire a une liste de tous les groupes qui sont affiliés d'une façon ou d'une autre à la francophonie. Donc, elle a fait des consultations avec ces groupes-là et il y en a une couple qui aimerait avoir une place permanente sur le comité. Donc, cela, il viendrait à chaque année, mais aussi, on veut pas... on n'a pas genre la possibilité de les forcer à venir chaque année. Donc, il y en a une couple qui serait plus ad hoc, comme tu as dit, et qui viendrait, on leur inviterait une place chaque année. Et s'ils décident de prendre l'invitation, tous sont bienvenus. Il n'y a pas de critères. Il faut juste qu'ils soient un club francophone.
Merci beaucoup. Nous allons entretenir une dernière question. Si vous avez des questions, s'il vous plaît, levez votre main. Conseiller Tsiniakos?
Oui. Est-ce que vous pouvez expliquer les points 8.3.2 qui dit défendre le droit de la communauté étudiante francophone d'une façon plus détaillée, s'il vous plaît?
Merci. Est-ce que la parlementarienne pourrait descendre dans le document juste qu'on puisse voir le point, si possible. Je suis pas sûr si le live stream a coupé ou non. C'est le point 8.3.c. 8.3.c. Bon, il semble avoir un problème technique, alors s'il vous plaît, juste allez sur votre propre copie du document que vous pouvez trouver dans le dossier du meeting d'aujourd'hui. En tout cas, vice-présidente Paulin, oui, vous avez oui, la place.
Merci. Donc, juste pour donner un peu de contexte à ceux qui peuvent pas voir la motion. C'est dans les responsabilités du comité. Donc, il y avait déjà comme organisé des événements et des initiatives, mais on voulait que le comité ait aussi un objectif de mobilisation. Donc, les droits de la communauté étudiante francophone, c'est plus les droits académiques. Donc, par exemple, pouvoir soumettre un papier en français ou un examen en français et des droits académiques comme ça, que beaucoup de personnes ne connaissent pas ou qui ne sont pas implémentés par les professeurs eux-mêmes. Il y a beaucoup de confusion à ce que, qu'est-ce que ça veut dire de soumettre un papier en français, qui va le corriger. Donc, un peu donner plus de détails à ce que, qu'est-ce que ça veut dire pour faire en sorte que le processus est plus facile pour les étudiants francophones qui se sentent plus confortables de soumettre des papiers en français. Donc, c'est un peu ça ce qu'on va dire par les droits de la communauté étudiante.
Merci beaucoup. La période de questions est expirée. Nous allons maintenant entretenir des motions ou, s'il n'y en a pas, nous allons entretenir un débat. Bon, vu qu'il n'y a pas de motion, nous rentrons dans 10 minutes de débat. Si vous voulez parler, s'il vous plaît, levez votre main. Bon, je vais expliquer la période de débat. Alors, nous allons rentrer directement dans la période de vote. Vous pouvez trouver, comme d'habitude, le document pour voter dans vos instructions de vote. C'est le deuxième item. Comme d'habitude, si vous avez des problèmes à accéder au document de vote, de votre main, écrivez un message, peu importe, juste laissez-moi savoir. Vice-président Downey?
La période de voting a commencé?
Oui.
Merci.
Nous avons reçu la majorité des intentions de vote. Alors, la période de vote va s'arrêter dans 30 secondes. Bon, la période de vote est à sa fin. Avec 22 votes pour, cette motion passe unanimement. With 22 votes in favor, this motion passes unanimously. Vice-président Downey?
Ah oui, j'ai une question générale concernant les votes. Où sont les votes? Désolé, I thought I was going to try in French, but...
No worries.
Where can we see the votes? Like, are they in the minutes just afterwards, or is it just
later? I tabulate all the voting record during the weekend, and it is uploaded to the website normally by Monday.
Merci.
Pas de problème. All right. So I accidentally muted myself. This being done, we'll be moving to la motion 11B, the motion regarding nominations to the CITES Board of Directors. So just for the proxies who are here, this motion is like some of the motions we passed in our first meeting, in that it is a motion where we must nominate councillors to sit on the board of directors. So in this case, councillors will be allowed to nominate themselves nominate themselves to sit on the board of directors. And if there are more than four people desiring to nominate themselves to sit, there will be a debate period and then a vote on who is allowed. Is there any questions? Vice President, Vice President Paulet.
Yeah, just to clarify, it's three councillors. There's going to be three available seats available as of November 15th. Yeah, and that's just the issue. Like, I know it says four councillors, but it's because there has to be in general four councillors that sit on board of directors. But we have Councillor Javed, who already sits on the board of directors that was nominated two councils ago.
Thank you very much for this correction. We'll be fixing that right away. All right, so. Oh, Councillor Wan, do you have a question?
Yeah, thank you very much. I just wanted to inquire as to why there are only three seats available, considering that the term for all legislative councillors should, representatives on the board of directors should expire in November.
If I'm not mistaken, we have just elected a councillor to the board a few meetings ago. which is different from the councillors whose terms are expiring. Vice President Poulin, maybe you can elaborate.
No, you said it perfectly.
Councillor Wong.
Thank you. So was it specified during this meeting where this representative was elected that their term would last greater than 1 year? In other words, greater than the amount of time allotted for most for all legislative council representatives on the board of directors?
I'm not certain. We can check the motion that passed. I believe it was two councils ago in the folder. It should be accessible. We can check the details there. If you wish, you can go for it and then report back to us. And we can be certain. But it is the case that the councilor was elected either this past LC or the one before. I'm not too certain. I'm pretty sure it's the first one, though. All right, seeing no more questions, we'll be moving to presentation by Vice-President Poulin.
Hi. So the board of directors is constituted of four executives, four legislative council members, and four general members. So as of November 15th, there was one legislative council member who resigned, and then three will be their term will end in November 15th. So we replaced the councillor who resigned with Councillor Javed, who was nominated at the same time as me. And now we just need three more councillors to fill the void that will be left on November 15th. So that's why I'm bringing it now. So like that, we're not doing it last minute and filling the vacant spots too late. So it gives the councillors time to, get all their documentation in. So that's pretty much it. This happens every year. So I encourage any councillor who's interested to nominate themselves. And if you have any questions about how to be a board of director, there's all the information in this motion. But I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may have.
Thank you. We'll now be entering a question period, seeing as there are questions on this motion. And after that, we'll be entertaining motions to amend. That way we can nominate the councillors. Councillor Wan.
Thank you. Yes. So I did look up the minutes of the September meeting as well as the constitution. And it says that in terms of office of legislative council representatives on the board of directors ends on the November the 14th and starts on November the 15th. So I believe that the newly elected councillors' term would also end on November 14th. In this case, do you plan on keeping the seats at three, or do you plan on granting this legislative council representative essentially a bonus term? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. That is a good point, and I appreciate that you went through doing this research for us. If an executive wishes to answer, particularly either the mover or the seconder of this motion, please raise your hand. Vice President Poulin.
So I can answer this. So we needed to fill the seat pretty quickly because there was a void in the board of directors. So basically, Councillor Javed will serve 1 year and 2 months. There's usually vacancies, but we really wanted to fill this seat as quickly as possible. So that's why that we nominated Councillor Javed earlier. But yes, to your question, she will be serving 14 months. And we did this because we needed to meet quorum because the councillor had resigned. It would have been hard to meet quorum. So that's why we did it.
Seeing as this is a problem that has constitutional proportions, I will propose, if somebody wishes to move this and somebody else wishes to second this, but I will propose that somebody moves to vote on whether we continue with electing three councillors or on whether we elect four councillors instead, which would nullify the previous appointment, which could be renewed anyhow. So I will be open to this motion after we take Councillor Wan's question. So Councillor Wan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Vice President Paulin, for your answer. I do want to note that since the 14-month term was not noted in the September motion, I do think that this would be a default of the Constitution. So I believe that it would be more than reasonable to change the three councillors to four and allow the legislative councillor representative to run for election if she chooses. As such, I will be. Would you be amenable to such an amendment during the debate period? Is my question.
Councillor Wan and the rest of Legislative Council, I'd like to propose a 2-minute recess just so that we may discuss myself, the governance manager, and the mover of this motion on just the constitutionality of having three instead of four councillors. If nobody is opposed, we'll be moving to a 2-minute recess just to do that quickly. Seeing none, we'll be entering a 2-minute recess. We'll be back by 58. And so I'll be opening a breakout room just for those concerned. I'll re-give the consensus just for the record. So we found that there is no constitutional problem with nominating three councillors, as there is not only a lot of precedent for this practice, but there is also nothing in the Constitution against a 14-month term, particularly when the councillor has already been elected to the board of directors. And so we will be continuing with the nomination of three councillors onto the board. All right, so we'll be continuing with the question period, and then we'll be taking motions. So anybody who wishes to ask a question, please raise your hand. All right, seeing none, we'll now be taking the motions to add councillors onto the board of directors. So all those wishing to nominate themselves to a seat on the board of directors, please raise your hands. If this number goes over three, we'll be going back at like debate. Councillor Wan, you've been recognized. Councillor Kusa, Councillor Gurung. Seeing no other nominations, the three councillors recognized, please keep your hand up until you've been noted down by the parliamentarian. Thank you.
Could you please go over the names again?
Yeah, so it's Councillor Wan. Councillor Kusa. And Councillor Gurung.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, seeing no other seeing no other nominations, we'll now be entering voting period on this motion. So as it stands, this motion nominates to the board of directors, Councillor Wan, Councillor Kusa, and Councillor Guruk. Please find the voting direction form and you can find the link on it. It should be number 3. And from there, you'll be able to vote. If, as always, if there's any trouble voting, let me know, message, or just unmute yourself and tell me, hey, speaker, I can't vote.
I need
speaker, sorry. you need permission. I'm not sure if that's just like a me problem or if other people are having that as well, but
having the same problem.
Yeah, me as well. I'm getting the same.
1 second, I'll look into it.
I did not get that problem. I don't think that helps anybody, but just putting it out there.
It does, because it's weird that some people are able to access it and some others aren't.
Okay, glad I didn't speak for no reason. Merci.
Yeah, give us a second. It seems like there is a serious problem since we only got 7 responses. So just one moment, we'll figure this out. Someone may have fixed it because I'm getting more votes. So if those that weren't able to access it, let me know. Can you access it now?
Still no.
Still no for me too, yeah.
Still can't as well.
Weird.
Using the link in the chat, I'm now able to, but the link on the Google Drive is still faulty. So yes. I guess the chat works.
Very weird. All right. Just use the link in the chat. We'll figure this out for next time. It's very curious. Councillor Wan?
Given these issues, I'd like to motion to vote by roll call.
Since we're almost like done voting, we've almost received all the votes possible. I will rule that out of order for the time being, unless we continue having issues. But it seems like right now with the link in the chat, it's working out. Has anyone been unable to vote?
Yes, I can't still vote.
Were you able to vote with the link in the chat?
No, it still tells me I need permission.
All right. Would you be all right with sending me a message through Zoom chat with your vote? Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, voting period will now elapse.
Sorry, I had a Wi-Fi issue. Could you say that again, please?
I just elapsed voting period.
Oh, sorry.
I'm about to say the votes. with 22 votes in favor and one opposed, this motion passes. Congratulations on the three new directors, or returning directors. All right, we'll now be moving to agenda item number 12, the reports by committees. A lot of committees have postponed their reports as they did not meet or did not have the chance to meet or forgot to write a report. And as such, I would just want to remind you to please do write your reports and send them in by the deadline. It is essential that we know how you're doing and how the committee is working out. I'll now leave the floor for 3 minutes to the executive committee.
Okay, so at XCOM these last few weeks, we've had mostly hiring stuff. Some more GERTS jobs because the cafe is opening soon, which is very exciting. Some positions for EDRSC. We're going to start to have building ambassadors who can answer like SMU and COVID related questions, which is super exciting. If you want to scroll down. Or not, okay. I think we're having issues with Jas's Wi-Fi, which is totally fine. So I'm just pull up the report real quick.
That again, I'm really sorry. My Wi-Fi.
No, it's okay, Jess. It's so not your fault. I'm just gonna pull up the report on my end so I can read it. Okay. So yeah, lots of hiring to make sure that you know GERTS goes well. And then we purchased 2 users for HelloSign, which is like a online like signature kind of software. And we hired a new bar back as well. So lots of GERTS stuff to make sure that everyone can have a good time at GERTS and some signing stuff to make sure that we stay legal. So yeah, that's what's been up.
Thank you. One second, please. Thank you. All right. We'll now be entertaining a short Q&A on the report. So if there are any questions, please raise your hands now. Seeing no questions, we'll be moving on to the next report.
Hello. I think that would be the Mental Health Committee reports.
Yep, just 1 second. We'll introduce. There you go. Okay. Oh, it's up on the screen. Perfect. All right. Yes, you have the floor.
All right. So, hi, I'm Julie. I'll be presenting the Mental Health Committee report. I'd like to thank Councillor Hamis and the Mental Health Commissioner for putting together this report. The SMU's mental health team this year is composed of the Mental Health Commissioner, Julia Caddy, Mental Health Advocacy Coordinator, Julian Godot, and Mental Health Outreach Coordinator, Olivia Borny. Both advocacy and outreach committees haven't met yet because the allocations were finalized last week. The Mental Health Commissioner has been working with the Office of the Dean of Students and the Wellness Hub on the student suicide prevention framework and is moving forward in implementing Wellness World and a lot of other initiatives. The Mental Health Advocacy Coordinator is working with the Commissioner and a team of students on the Academic Wellness Plan and evaluating the cost-benefit of our current mental health resources. The Mental Health Outreach Coordinator is newly onboarded and planning monthly workshops in collaboration with PSC and Resonance Life. The first mental health roundtable meeting took place September 27th. And important points are that the mental illness awareness week was October 3rd to 10th. There were a lot of events on social media, on campus, daily activities. I read at AMA. For member updates, the Eating Disorder Resource and Support Center has a messaging support platform and also group support and also eating disorder specific training. Empathy Journal is hiring, so please direct anyone who might be interested. PSC preferential appointment system to connect students with BIPOC to us LGBTQA plus women. Also in-person support is coming soon. MORSL is adding classes on meaning making and opening a meditation space. Science-based addiction treatments is a new group in the process of becoming a club. Hub team is developing support groups on campus for addiction treatment. They're looking into relevant curriculum changes for med school, social work, and nursing. And an addictions conference is coming at the end of the year. So looking forward, we have the SMU Mental Health Town Hall coming up and the Wellness Hub Scope campaign. Please don't hesitate to reach out to the Mental Health Commissioner if you have any questions related to the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there are any questions, please raise your hands. Seeing none, we'll be ending this report. Thank you. So we'll be ending point number 12, the reports by committee, and now be entering point number 13, the reports by counselors. Counselor Tiniakos has postponed their report, and as such, we'll be moving to Counselor Kayar. You have 3 minutes. If I'm not mistaken, Counselor Kayar is absent. I'm pretty sure. Seeing that, that report will not be presented, we have to move to Councillor Gurung's report. And so you have the floor for 3 minutes.
Hi, my committee that I'm on, I believe hasn't met yet. And that's the Community Engagement Committee. I think this is because there's a vacancy in the commissioner position. So no updates there. In terms of AUS, we had our most recent legislative council on October 6th, and we only passed one motion, so not a lot going on there. And then the next meeting will be on October 20th. And then at AUS again, for my portfolio, we have our graduate fair coming up soon. So that's with the graduate and professional schools on November 2nd and 3rd. And then our committees there also are running a little bit behind, so haven't really gotten started yet. That's about it for me.
Thank you, Counselor. We'll now be moving to the next report by Counselor Pelzi. You have 3 minutes.
Wonderful. Thank you, Speaker. Not much to report. So we had our kind of orientation stuff the weekend of September 18th, 19th, and our first council on the 29th. We're going to be meeting biweekly. Next meeting is October 20th. So what this council notes, I've packed like way too much stuff in here, but interesting stuff would be the first post-COVID plumber's ledger is in print. So if you guys see that around campus, pick one up. the president's office, U.S. office, is open 1 to 5 Monday to Friday. One thing that I thought was kind of interesting that we talked about was a possible U.S. podcast that's in the works. Kind of cool way to connect with students like post-COVID and with online classes and everything. And then we also discussed vaccine passport for immunocompromised students. What else? We selected some committees for some members for some committees, like the Involvement Restriction Committee. And we have one committee with 2 to 3 vacant positions still open, and we had no discussions, and then we adjourned super early, which was nice. It was a very short meeting at just under 7:30.
Thank you, Counselor. All right, so this exhausts our reports by counselors, and as such, we'll be entering our executive reports. All right, so we'll be entering executive report 14A, the president's report. Is an executive doing that report, or is it skipped?
It's postponed, I think.
All right, so we'll be moving to the executive report by the VP Finance.
Thank you, Speaker. So essentially, most of what I'm doing right now is in relationship to the first point, which is the cash flow projections and actuals on student fees. So we've received those from McGill back in September. So essentially, I've been working on reevaluating the budget. The main headline here is that the previous VP Finance, Gifford, had made a very conservative approach to the budget because we did not know to what extent McGill would be back in person. But because McGill has essentially mostly flipped back to its standard model, there was not a reduction in the amount of students that came to McGill. And so we have an extra $300,000 to allocate during the October budget revision. I've been meeting with department heads, executives, and various members of staff to kind of decide where to allocate this. At this time, we will likely be allocating most of it to hiring new staff in certain overworked portfolios. I'm also in the process of meeting with services to update the budgets based on actuals, same process here. And then the final point is that generally we would bring this up. This should be brought up before 31st of October. I'm still hopeful I'll be able to present the budget revisions for October 28th, but because of the sheer amount of money that we have, basically because of the size of the revision, because of the change between the actuals and the projected amount, I may ask the board of directors to extend that just to make sure that everything is done properly and up to snuff. I've also been working on the assignments of, this is a more recent thing, but the assignments of certain funds that are separated, for example, the Environment Fund or the Mental Health Fund is separated between different groups. So I've been working on that as of today. The other big point, the funding committee started meeting. We met after I submitted my report, but starting next Ledge Council, I'll be presenting the funding opportunities that were accepted. As for our investments, I've been looking to transition away from basically our current investment model, which are GICs for our short-term investments, and looking towards high-yield corporate bonds. Hopefully, we'll be able to double the amount of money we make on kind of the money that we spend throughout the year. So our short-term investments, we'll be able to double the amount of money we make off of our interest there. We'll hopefully be mostly seen in the Awards of Distinction Fund. So we'll hopefully be able to have many more Awards of Distinction this year. These investments, I noticed when I was doing this that technically there's a loophole here because technically corporate bonds aren't equity related, so we can invest into any corporate bond. But that, in my eyes, kind of violated kind of the principles on which SMU are founded. But it is a loophole we need to fix in the IRS of finance. So I'll be working on that later in the year. And then finally, fee consolidation is being worked on by the finance commissioner. We will have consultations with services. I believe they're starting soon to make sure that everyone is happy with the final outcome that we determine. And we still need counselors and members at large for the health and dental committee. So please, 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 if you're interested at all in this, please apply. We're doing a lot of good work. We're focusing mostly on expanding the insurance, specifically for issues relating to trans students and hearing aids. So please, please, please reach out to us if you're at all interested in any of this. There's a lot of good work to be done. But until then, projects and relations have installed because we can't meet until we have at least a couple members at large. But at some point, I guess we'll have to move forward without members at large. That's most of what we have. The budget's doing very well. Finances are doing very well. Most of my time is spent doing meetings and figuring out where we're going to allocate the $300,000.
Thank you very much. If there are any questions, please raise your hands. Seeing none, we'll be moving to the next report. The report of the VP Student Life. You have the floor.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Okay, so I'll go ahead and start my report. I'm just opening up on my side. Okay.
While you're doing that, just 1 second. I'm very sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah,
no problem. There is a 3-minute speaking time, so I will be doing a reaction when there's 30 seconds left.
Okay, no problem. Do I start now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So for student groups, SMU has partnered with MCERT, and we're offering for the first time ever free first aid courses and psychological first aid courses to students. Training start this weekend. We have the next, I believe, 3 weekends booked. We're also using 3501 Peel for this. So this is the first time student groups can use this building for one of their trainings. We're also, right now, I'm just ensuring all groups met the SMU requirements thus far. So they submitted the student group information form and attended all workshops, and sanctions will be sent Monday, but everyone has been advised of this. We recruited services to participate at McGill's open house. That's tomorrow. I also met with lawyers to discuss vaccine passport and what this means for our student groups. So I'm releasing my listserv tomorrow to inform everyone. I also have been working on a document with the building director and ancillary services manager to answer the common questions I received so far in the semester. That's also going to be released tomorrow on my listserv. In regards to mental health, Counselor Bailey already mentioned, the mental health outreach coordinator position has been filled. Mental Illness Awareness Week went great. The first mental health roundtable went great as well. We brought really amazing topics. And right now we're working with student services to clarify the scope of the wellness hub. In regards to family care, I attended the GBSCE Family Care Subcommittee meeting. I also proposed to the SMU Daycare Board members the possibility of bringing a facilitator to help current parents on exploring CPEs. In regards to projects, we're hiring 2 members to be part of the Student Group Portal project. This portal was purchased early this year. So right now we need to implement this. Activities Night 2.0 is set for November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at Centro Monjoyal. Registration opens tomorrow. We also have portable chargers available at the University Center from Lifeline. So we partner with this company, and everyone has free chargers for 72 hours that they can take with them. And now for McGill Student Services and miscellaneous stuff. So we partner with McGill Census to spread awareness on submitting the census. This is really important for us to be aware of our demographics. I attended the CSS meeting. So this is a services meeting with McGill. Also met with MCSS, the VPSL equivalent, to discuss COVID-19 sanctions to student groups. And the VPUA and I have been working with the McGill vaccination campaign. So I stand for questions.
Thank you. If there are any questions, please raise your hands now. Seeing none, we'll be going to the next report. The report of the Vice President, University Affairs. You have the floor for 3 minutes.
Thank you. So what we've been up to lately is the menstrual products team is back up and running, which is super exciting. So if you're ever in washrooms on campus and you see the little SMU menstrual products logo, that's our team of menstrual health coordinators and our commissioner at work. It's going super well, and I'm so thrilled to have them working so hard right now. As the VP Student Life mentioned in her last presentation recently, there are campus vaccination clinics coming up, as well as things to incentivize and support vaccination on and off campus. So McGill and SMU should be releasing more information on that soon, but there are some really good ways to support and incentivize vaccination for community members who are not yet vaccinated. Next, you can see some meetings that I had related to McGill governance and with McGill administrators. The highlight of which was the USLAP/PASL working group meeting. So that's the policy that dictates student rights during assessments.
And the policy right now is very long and quite unintelligible. So this working group has the goal of making the policy more clear, more transparent, more accessible to students, which is very exciting. We had really productive discussions about scenarios that come up from time to time that are left unresolved by the policy. I'm working with the Indigenous Affairs Commissioner to expand the hiring in that portfolio, which is also really great. And as with the fall reading week, there was a student concern raised about a professor who was ignoring the calendar, but we worked with the student rights researcher and advocacy commissioner to support the student and figure out what could be done in the future. I stand for questions.
Thank you very much. All those wishing to ask questions, please raise your hands now. Seeing none, we'll be moving to our next report. VP External Affairs, you have the floor.
Thank you. So the main projects that the External Affairs Office as a whole has been working on is one off-campus advocacy about the Royal Victoria Hospital and ensuring that our affordable student housing partners, UTIL, are involved. Which also leads to working on affordable student student housing. Furthermore, we've been doing coalition building on municipal and provincial levels, specifically meeting with other external equivalents at other schools in Quebec. I've also been working with the Black Affairs Commissioner to bolster Black student accessibility and safety on campus, as well as health resources accessible to students with different McGill staff members. And finally, the political campaign coordinators and I are trying to put together the housing information campaign to raise awareness a little bit about housing and tenants' rights in Montreal. In terms of important updates, we got the UTIL support regarding the Royal Victoria's SMU goals. Furthermore, UCRU, which is the undergraduate coalition of research intensive universities in Canada, has submitted a letter to the Prime Minister's office following his election. And the dates of lobby week for UCRU have been set, and the three main key advocacy priorities have been adopted, and they are going to be student financial aid, mental health support, and student employment. With extra emphasis in relation to international students. Furthermore, I have had discussion meetings with community actors regarding the municipal elections, especially considering how important affordable housing is in this upcoming election. And there has been one big main Royal Victoria Hospital protest held. Furthermore, after being elected as chair of UCRU's Bilingual STEM Committee, which I mentioned in my last report, the work of the Bilingualism Committee has started to ensure UCRU's accessibility at Lobby Week and to ensure further advocacy directed towards MPs of the Quebec provincial government. In terms of hiring and onboarding, two new interviews are coming up in terms of the External Affairs Coordinator. We're reviewing a possible candidate for hiring this week for the Community Engagement Commissioner. And we hired Craig Cooper, who you've met earlier today, as Policy and Mobilization Researcher. And furthermore, I've been onboarded as the SMU representative on the CKUT Board of Directors. In other news, the Communauté Saint-Urbain is the Saint-Urbain equivalent of the Milton Park Citizens Committee, which SMU has been asked to join. And there was the first General Assembly that the Community Affairs Commissioner attended, and I'll have more updates on that shortly. I was also reached out to by several advisors, part of the Student Wellness Hub and Local Wellness Advising Program. So we have been in talks about how to, in discussion with various reps on how to bolster that. We've started discussions with the CLE team about frost street teams to ensure an automatic renewable program for street teams to not have the same issues that we faced this year. And finally, something I mentioned last report about the main campaigns being on the SMU website has been delayed because of the other projects. Thank you, and I am open to questions.
Thank you. Anybody wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll be moving to the last report. finishing off with the report of the Vice President Internal.
Thank you, Alex. Hello, everyone. So lots of things happening in the VP internal portfolio. I already realized I made a mistake in the first line. It's the internal administrator that I had meetings with. We're doing check-ins, working on our survey. Spin is going great. Shout out to Counselor Tiniakos, who's in the room. Andy, great job. We have our Halloween event, which is going to be a bar crawl that is Britney themed, which is super exciting. That's going to be happening on October 28th. Pour le comité des affaires francophones, ben vous avez vu, on a travaillé sur la motion qui a passé. Merci beaucoup. On est très hâte à ces changements-là. Et on a aussi commencé à parler du plan de la franchisation pour essayer de le ramener pour le référendum de l'hiver 2022. Alumni Affairs, I took over MASEC. Very fun. Communications, all is well. Weekly meetings. Worked on grad photos. So if anyone in your faculty is graduating this year, I sent an email to all of the presidents. So that is happening with our new provider, which is great. First year affairs is underway. We have all the elections done, and we have our vice president external who's here today to her first legislative council meeting. So that is in the works. And then governance, just lots of meetings, check-ins. I've been working on a lot of policies lately. I'm working on revamping the events policy, the equity policy, the global access to health, the global health access policy, I'm butchering that, and the unpaid internship policy. And then just a bunch of check-ins. I had an interview with the Tribune, and we had a student leader presentation with some McGill admin. So yeah, that's about what's been going on.
Thank you very much. With that, I believe we can go back to the agenda. Thank you. So this is the end of today's agenda. Before we move to adjourn, I'd like to remind you once again about the coming GA, and please ask you to remind your constituents to come to the GA, participate in the GA, and really use this as an opportunity. All right, so I'm open to motions to adjourn. Councillor Tiniakos. Oh. Thank you, Vice President Paulin. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you very much. All right, with that, this is the end of our meeting at 8:41. Thank you all for coming, and I wish you all a wonderful rest of your week.
Thanks so much, Alex. Bye, everyone.